Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. If this is the first time to join us, again, we'd like to say thank you. You can visit our website at huntingtheway.com. If you have any comments or questions about the show, love to hear from you. You can email me, scott@huntingtheway.com. We list all of our shows there, our podcast, and again, certainly love to have you check out our website. Part of this show is, as far as our Sportsman of Colorado show is, we just felt like the need out there for a lot of things with men today. And Red Merrill, which is my co-host for Sportsman of Colorado, attends my church as well. We've talked about, you know, some of the churches that may have a game banquet deal for men, or a men's breakfast, men's archery shoot, anything like that. And if we can ever help with something like that, again, just contact us through our website. Again, that's scott@huntingtheway.com. Well, it's a real honor and privilege today to have Dave Disney in studio with me. And Brother Disney is out of our home church, First Baptist Church of Englewood, and is a missionary and has been in the Chile for 33 years. Wow. You must have been when you were about 15 there, Brother Dave. First of all, welcome and thanks for being on the show with me today.
Thank you, Scott. Pleasure to be here.
So, you know, always have our guest, first of all, just kind of tell us a little bit about them, their life, and their testimony. So take us back a little bit and tell us about, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up there at the First Baptist Church of Englewood, the same church you're a member of. And I always felt, you know, God's leadership in my life to be involved in the church. And I was as a youngster and grew up there, but I also had a passion for football.
Right.
And I played football quite a bit and won a scholarship to University of Colorado. After a year, though, I left and got into sheet metal trade school, married my wife, Peggy, and we felt God's leadership to go into mission work. And through that, we had an opportunity. The church sent us to Chile, South America, and we spent a month there just observing and living with a missionary and finding out some needs that were we saw down there. And we felt on our way back, we looked at each other and said, well, we'll be back there. And we were in Bible school at that time. And so we came back to the States and changed our major, and I finished up school and did an internship there at First Baptist Church. And then the church sent us to Chile, South America in 1982. Wow. And we've been there ever since, 33 years on the mission field.
Well, that's amazing. You know, and I mentioned the importance of men and men being more involved in the churches of today and all the different things. But, you know, your dad was... You think of First Baptist Church, and besides Harvey Springer, I think of Hubert Disney, your dad. Talk about just the importance of growing up and type of home life and the structure there and the Christian input that he put in your life.
What a great advantage I had as a child, because, well, my dad, he started at that church when he was 4 years old. His parents brought him there, and he began attending the church. My mom came when she was, I think, 5 or 6 years old. And so I believe he's the longest-running living member there right now. I don't know for sure, but I think that's the case. But that's growing up, having a steadfast and steady father figure in my life he was a worker, hard worker, still is. He still has his own business. He went into business on his own about 45, 50 years ago, still has that business. And he's just a steady worker in the church, raised his family. All his kids are in Christian service, married Christian people. And it's always good to come back to a place, not only the church that we come back to, also the home we come back to. Mm-hmm. And my dad hasn't changed. And my parents are the same. They were saved at an early age and grew up serving the Lord. They dedicated their lives when they were young people to the mission field. Were unable to go to the mission field, but they raised three kids that are in the ministry, two of them missionaries and one of them pastor's wife. And that steadfastness, I think, that quality I see in my father, and also a strong hand, discipline. We knew what was right and wrong at early age.
Right.
And we had he was a disciplinary, not extreme, but biblically, mm-hmm. to discipline us and to show us, you know, what was right and what was wrong. And that not only helped me, you know, in the home, you know, to be the way I was supposed to be that they expected, but also in life.
Sure.
And as I was playing football, also the disciplines you need in sports. Mm-hmm. It takes a disciplined life to be able to excel in anything. And I believe not only what he instilled in me into my Christian background, but also in life has helped me tremendously in career and also in our mission work in Chile, South America.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest today, Dave Disney. Brother Disney is a missionary in Chile and has been there 33 years. Now, over the last few years, boy, we've been at the church 10 years, so we've certainly got to follow you guys fairly closely. But, man, earthquakes, bicycle accidents. There's been some trials. Talk about a few of those.
Well, we've had a few. In 1979 was our first experience with an earthquake. Of course, growing up here in Colorado, the earth doesn't shake too much here.
Yeah.
But we were in Viña del Mar, and I was actually preaching on Paul and Silas in jail. At the time, the earth was shaking a little bit there in Viña del Mar. It's a coastal town. And the earth had been shaking, trembling a little bit for weeks ahead of that time. And I told the church, we just read through Acts 16 and 17, the account when Paul and Silas were put in jail, and an earthquake came and shook the jail apart and set them free. We just read the account of that in the Bible and in the church service, and the earth started shaking. So I got behind the pulpit and I said, well, folks, don't worry. The forecasters have been telling us that this earth is shaking. We're not going to have the big one. But 3 minutes later, we knew that we were in a big one, 7.9. We saw buildings come down and people that were real devastated over that. But then years later, just a couple years ago, 2010, we were in an 8.8 earthquake. I was 500 miles away from my wife. She was in our apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that shook her quite a bit. Glass broke and the bed moved across the floor. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, so she was in bed. She just grabbed the pillows, and she looked up to heaven, up the ceiling. She said, Lord, whatever your will is. And there were apartment buildings that came down. And, of course, me being 500 miles away from her, all I wanted to do was get back to where she was.
Sure.
We made a cell phone contact, and right after that contact, the towers were shut off, and we couldn't contact each other until I got back to Santiago, where she was living, and I was in a meeting down South Chile. And it took me 3 days to get back there. But that's devastating. But, you know, Scott, the Lord also shines through that because we saw many people that came to know Christ as their Savior. Mm-hmm. The first one we were in when I was preaching there about that earthquake, in the early earthquake, a man the next week when he came to church, we started the message, and he said, well, don't preach on the earthquake, Pastor.
Really?
I didn't want to finish that message, but he came running forward, and he said, I know how quickly life can be snuffed out. And we saw the same thing happen in the second earthquake, the big one we were in. We did street evangelism because one of our churches in Constitution, our pastor there, Gary Yantin, his church stood firm, the building, but most of his people were lost their homes.
Mm.
Downtown, a tsunami came in and wiped out downtown, and so they had to live on the hillsides for several months. But they had preaching in the streets, and many, many people came to know Christ as their Savior, knowing that, you know, your next breath might be your last one, because an earthquake that you have no warning about can take you out right away. And so, you know, the Lord showed His presence and His power through that also. And seeing people come to know Christ as their Savior. And of course, we also had people that, not members, but close friends of members of our churches that were lost in the tsunami, mm-hmm. And some that were died in the earthquake. And so you get a very, very vivid picture of eternity at your doorstep at times like that. And so people come to church. Unfortunately, many people forget. Mm-hmm. So thereafter also, they come to the Lord, supposedly, at a earthquake experience.
Yes.
And then sometimes run away from Him after, you know, things get better. Mm-hmm. But we've seen people that they came to the Lord during that time, and they're steadfast now. You know, they know, and they preach the Word of God, and they teach, and they testify because they know. They've had friends and even relatives that passed on into eternity just by, you know, one quick earthquake.
Right.
And so, yes, we've had some of those incidents. You were talking about me falling off a bike. I do a lot of bicycling, not motorbike, but pedal bike. And just before we came back to the States this last time, we had to delay coming back because I was taking my bike into a repair shop and flipped off of it and broke my shoulder. And I've broken my collar and my backbone a couple times, but it keeps me on the road. Yeah. It keeps me doing the Lord's business. Yeah.
You know, we were talking a little bit before the show, and just talking about the different culture there, people. A lot of people seem discouraged today. You know, I meet people, and they feel like their life has not gone as planned. Most of that's by our own doing. You know,
sure.
I look
yeah.
at my own life. I mean, it's just because of decisions, and that's what life is, a series of decisions.
Sure
and,
is. Yeah.
And, boy, you know, it just seems like a lot of people have lost hope, and really just because of themselves not doing what they knew to do. So kind of thought we might do an encouragement kind of thing for people that might feel, hey, you know what, I'm too broken to be anything to be used for yeah. anything for the Lord. You know, I've messed up too much. So from people here in the States, and you preach all around when you're here, home on furlough, and then you go back there, what's the difference much in people? Are people just people, and we all got the same issues?
Well, our God is the same God, and, of course, we're all fallen by nature.
Mm-hmm.
All around the world. You know, I'm 6,000 miles from Colorado and leaving here. The only difference there as far as mankind is concerned that we deal with is the language.
Right.
Because man has fallen by nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you're right, Scott. We live a series of decisions every day. And some of those decisions are major decisions. And some of them are life-changing decisions. And I think it's the exception that, you know, somebody's life is just, it's been smooth and the trail has been, you know, all bright and nothing's gone wrong and hasn't made a wrong decision. We all make wrong decisions in our lives. But, you know, God is a God of second chances also.
Yes.
And we come back to Him, and He's a God that's bigger than even the wrong decisions we make. And we see this all over. You know, we travel to churches every week, different churches, and people, they come to realize that in themselves we can't handle you know, even the consequences of some of the decisions that we make. But again, we go back to God because He's bigger than even that decision, and He's bigger than those consequences. And I see this even down in Chile. Like I said, you know, we're made up of the same substance. We see down there homes broken up, lives broken up. Now, for years, just until recently, divorce was illegal in Chile. And so people lived together out of, not even legally, because they would leave one another. They'd have a family in one home, then a family in another home. And just because of decisions they made, sometimes decisions made as young people or too young to know better, or because of problems within a relationship, they don't get along, or even children rebelling against their parents. And so we see this probably more often, even in Chile, maybe because that's where my major ministry is involved,
right,
where people have seen that when they come into contact with the Lord and they find out that there's a bigger providential plan for their life by God being involved in their life, then they can see, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And they can get back on track with the Lord. It's like you used to hear Bill Gothard speak about the diamond in the rough, and he's always trimming that diamond down, you know, carving it and chiseling it and smoothing it down. And we're the ones that kind of mess up, but He keeps working on us. He doesn't give up on us.
Mm-hmm.
We're still that diamond that
sure.
He's working on. Might be smaller, but it's still bright. It's still brilliant.
Yes,
and we can be a great, great asset even to His work. And even in our failures, you know, there's some things that we go through in our failures that somebody that may not have gone through that failure will not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can help somebody else going through that difficulty, bring them on the other side. and carry them through there with the Lord.
Right. And, you know, I think sometimes we look at what we've done like nobody's ever done that before, yeah. You know, and but God can forgive and yes. wants to forgive. And so how do you advise or as you counsel people for people that are in, again, our show is called Hunting the Way, but maybe they're trying to get back to God and they don't even know how to go about it. You know, they'd say, hey, I'd love to have the happiness, the joy that you guys are yeah. talking about and you know, and having a great relationship with Christ. But I don't even know the first step of how to go back and get that.
Well, you know, we need to recognize most of our problems come because of our pride.
Right.
You know, and we need to humble ourselves before God. When we speak of a holy God, a righteous God, you know, we can never meet His righteous or holy standard in ourselves. But I like what the songwriter wrote, that Christ receiveth sinful men, you know, and we're all sinners. And the only way to breach that gap between a sinful man, which we all are, and a holy, holy, holy God is through Christ. And so He receives sinful man, but it's not on our terms. It's on His terms. And so we come humbly before God, true humbleness before Him, and lay it on the altar. You know, when we talk about laying something on the altar, the altar is a killing place. Mm-hmm. And so when we come back to God, or we come to God in the first place, we need to understand that we're laying our all upon the altar. And we have a theme in our church there in Santiago, Chile. Times we kind of do this theme over and over again before our congregation. You know, kill my will, Lord. May Your will be the paramount in my life. And so we lay even our will upon the altar, that He would, we would sacrifice our will for His. Mm-hmm. And that's a humbling experience also, because we find out, you know, we're not the big shot anymore.
Sure.
You know, God is. We have to let Him take control of that. And I read in Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, we see Christ as our example. You know, He endured all the shame of the cross that He didn't deserve.
Sure.
He did it for us. Mm-hmm. You know, He did it for you, did it for me. There's things I'm ashamed of. Mm-hmm. There's things I won't even talk about anymore. But He endured the cross for that too. You know, I don't have to endure that. I give it to Him. I turn it over to Him. And so the place I do that is on the altar. Before me, I can, you know, alone with God, I lay those things on the altar and let Him take care of those. There's still going to be consequences. You know, if I get in a fight and I cut off somebody's arm and I go to jail for that, and I say, oh, God, forgive me. And well, He'll forgive me.
Yeah.
But I still have to suffer the consequences of it.
Absolutely.
You know?
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest today is Brother Dave Disney out of our church, First Baptist Church of Englewood. And by the way, if you're looking for a good church home, maybe you've visited some churches, you've been kind of disillusioned with churches of today, and maybe some of the mega church movement, whatever, and you're like, hey, is there a church like I grew up with? Well, I don't know what you grew up with, but I'm telling you, this is a great church, a great church family, and we'd love to have you come visit us. We're at 3190 South Broadway, and again, that's First Baptist Church of Englewood. And Brother Dave's been a missionary in Chile for the last 33 years, and certainly want to get him on our show today, because you'll be heading back here.
We'll be leaving January 6th.
Okay.
Headed back.
Uh-huh. All right. Can you think of a time, really, where our homes today are under such attack? You know, from, boy, the divorce rate is higher than ever. You know, you look at all the things with same-sex marriage. You look at,
sure,
you know, kids growing up in divorced families. I mean, man, it's a mess.
I've never seen it as bad as it. I'm 62 years old, mm-hmm. and so I haven't seen everything.
Right.
But in my lifetime, I see more damage in homes, and mainly that's because, you know, of the cultural permissiveness that we have around us. You know, we used to call ourselves a Christian nation. I believe, you know, compared to other nations, we still are a Christian nation, founded upon Christian principles. but those are dissolving into a sinful culture that we've developed because of the permissiveness of our society now. As you said, you know, now we have same-sex marriages, even people that don't identify, you know, what is my gender,
yeah.
You know,
right.
and kids have to grow up with that now,
mm-hmm.
As a norm. Now, when you and I were in school, that was not a norm. That was on that was the extremes.
Sure.
And even the homosexuality and the permissiveness when somebody was that type of person in school, they were kind of on the fringe. We knew about it,
mm-hmm.
but didn't celebrate it. But sin seems to be celebrated so much now that it's so hard for our young people growing up that they have no moral guidance and an absolute. Now, you and I know that the Bible is our absolute.
Right.
But kids growing up nowadays, and now they're forming families without that absolute in their own lives, they're what's holding them together is just liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see today it's and what's it going to be like, 5-10 years from now? If it's going down that way now, it's just permissiveness and the liquidness of what absolutes are.
Mm-hmm.
We do have moral absolutes. And as you mentioned earlier in this broadcast, you mentioned my father. He instilled those moral absolutes in me, and that's, I'm so grateful for that. A Christian father was steadfast, and my Christian home that I grew up in and the Christian church that I grew up in.
Sure.
And they taught me, absolutes. And that absolute, that final absolute is God, and His authority is His word.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have that to go back to.
Right. And, I said a while ago, people may be disillusioned with church. They just, they've seen different things. And let's be honest, preachers messed up. I mean, different things. And, people they looked up to, and that's, of course, and my dad always taught me, don't put your man,
yes.
put your eyes on the Lord,
exactly.
Because men will fail you. Mm-hmm. They just will. And so, what would you say those people that are looking for a church? I mean, if people come to you and they go, hey, how do you find a good church?
Uh-huh.
What would you say?
Well, again, I'll go back to what I mentioned earlier, a church that stands upon the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute faith that we have is based upon an absolute God that we have that wrote a word that we have, which is absolute. And if that church is not strong on their Bible teaching, then I'd look for another church.
Right.
And, of course, growing up in the First Baptist Church there, I'm glad I see many missionaries that come back to the field and they come into a church that's so permissive or they don't even go to the pulpit with a Bible or they're teaching, anecdotes, and most of the program is a program rather than,
right.
than preaching
sure.
out of the Word. I don't believe the church should be – you're coming back to a program – but you're coming to what the main principle, I think, ministry of a church is, to preach the Word of God. And so I would base that, the very first requirement of finding a good church home is to go to a church that is there, not just saying it, because I know a lot of churches say that also.
Right.
But if it's all just programs and gimmicks and sloppy, syrupy type of... Mm-hmm. Middle of the road, no absolutes to teach on, I would avoid that because, you're going to raise your family also in that environment where when they get up and they have to make real, true, solid, firm decisions, they're not going to have something to grasp onto without a church that has taught them biblical principles and taught them how they can also, on their own, build their life upon those biblical principles. So that would that's foundational.
Right.
Foundational.
Right. Because we see so many churches, and I mean, my home church that I grew up in the Dallas area was a great church, and I mean, really a lighthouse for fundamentalism back, in the 60s, 70s yeah. and all. But then you start seeing music change and all that. And again, we're not judging other churches, but we've had people come to our church because the music and just, like I say, just things have changed. It seemed there was more focus on entertainment
yes.
than, like what you said, than preaching.
Our experience in Chile, I have greater, knowledge of that, of course, but we see the same thing happening. People that there's that big, I guess, attraction mm-hmm. for that kind of entertainment atmosphere, and it is attractive, and it draws especially the younger generation. But if that is not linked with, or if that's all they have, or if that's their principal drawing card for their church, then I believe that's a weak draw. Like I mentioned earlier, well, I didn't mention it, but going into that, many missionaries that we know that come back to the States and their church, they come back and they come back to an entertainment center or a counseling center rather than good, strong, hard preaching on God's Word. They go back disappointed because their church has changed and they haven't. It's sad to see that because mm-hmm. we see it, you know, when like a parent would see their child grow, they put a mark on the door, and maybe 3 years later there's another mark on the door, and then 3 years later another mark. Well, we see that because we come back every 3 or 4 years
right.
in the churches, and the changes, and some of them don't know that they've evolved into this entertainment center rather than a strong preaching of God's Word. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, like I mentioned earlier, fundamental, that they should be founded upon God's Word and keep preaching the Word of God. We need to be challenged and confronted with who we are. And the Bible is a mirror. It's a mirror to our life. And if we're not confronted with who we are and what we're doing how we're, and especially like you mentioned earlier, in the culture that we're in, that we grow up in today, we're giving away to our culture.
Yes, sir. Again, our guest has been Dave Disney. Brother Disney is a missionary in Chile, has been there 33 years. And, you know, if you have a prayer list that you keep around and jot that name down, Dave Disney, pray for them. They're doing a great work there. And again, we would love to have you come visit our church, First Baptist Church of Inglewood. That's not the primary focus of our show, is to drive people to our church. But if you're looking for a good church home and one that offers the things that we've talked about today, we would love to have you come visit us. So, Brother Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
I appreciate you being here with us. Thanks for joining us. Again, my name is Scott Whatley. Check out our website, huntingtheway.com. All of our past shows are there. And remember, God's way is the best way. Have a great day.